Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 244 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of March 7th, 2019. I am Chris Randazzo, and with me tonight, as always, is Hadouken Tosser Dan Ryan.
Hadouken.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, get over here.
Oh, that would have been way better. Sorry. Get over here!
Take two. Since it's March, and we're both clearly mad, Dan and I have decided that we're going to do our own little March Madness tournament here on the podcast. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. How you doing, Mr. Dan?
Oh, I'm okay, Chris. It's been a whirlwind of activity. No, it really hasn't. I finished Chasm over the weekend. Chasm. Finished. It was really good. I really, really liked it. I definitely recommend picking it up if you are a fan of roguelikes and or Metroidvanias.
Or chasms.
Or chasms. Surprisingly, not a ton of chasms. I mean,
well,
lousy,
the title was
lousy
singular.
With chasms. But nary a chasm to be a... No, it's... It was very good. It was made by a very, very small team. Not as small as Axiom Verge or Team Cherry. But, I mean, Team Cherry and Hollow Knight is a whole other level. But very small team. Really good music. The only complaint I have with the game, and this is more just because it's a personal thing. Like, one of my very, very favorite abilities in all of video gamedom is the double jump. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You do not get the double jump in this game until very late in the game. Mm. At least through the playthrough that I had. I don't know how much that would change it with the roguelike aspects of it. I don't think it would change all that much. It's just not how the story progresses. But I didn't get to play with it too much. And it's just one of my favorite ways to navigate through a game world. I don't know why. Just a thing. So
I can understand that. I'm a big fan of a good double jump.
Yeah. Apart from that, really, really excellent game. Totally worth the $15 or $20, whatever it is that it costs on your platform of choice. As long as those platforms, I believe, are Sony or Nintendo products. I don't know if it's on Xbox. Probably it, but the music, excellent. Excellent, excellent music. I was very impressed with it.
Hmm.
The graphics are very cool. I think I talked a little bit last week about the bird hat that I got.
I think so. Sounds familiar.
Bird hat, pretty fun. Put on the hat, bird flies around, pecks at shit. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and then I mentioned the cats in Castlevania. Yeah,
yes, yes. Also ended up with a sword hat.
Ooh.
Somewhere along the way. So you put on the sword hat and a sword swings around as you're... So you're walking through the game world, there's just this giant fucking claymore just like floating over your head. It attacks enemies. It's pretty cool. It was really good though. I really, really liked it. So, you know, there's that. What else did I do? I played Apex Legends.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I mean I did. So I don't think the Battle Royale genre is for me, Chris.
If it's not Tetris, it's not for me either.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Apex Legends as a just overall a much better game than Fortnite or whatever, or PUBG, which I haven't played but does not look to be a thing. Like, this is by the guys who made Titanfall. So it's the former, what, Modern Warfare guys did that? Is that what their studio was?
Sure. Let's go with that. I don't know.
They broke off from Activision and then did Titanfall, and now they did Apex. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It works. It's not Anthem, so it's a game that actually works that a lot of people are into. It was fun.
Is Anthem like, the one that's bricking people's systems?
Yeah, yeah, the new EA BioWare joint.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, people are not happy. Also, apparently they didn't finish that game. They were just like, here you go. Have this. Oh,
that's not surprising.
Finish it later. Oh, not done. It's a bit shit. Sorry. anyway, Apex Legends is a game that does exist that I have played. I will not be going back to it. Like, it didn't hook me. It is okay.
Hmm.
If you're into Battle Royale games, I think this will be the better one out of all of them, but I don't know.
Hmm.
I am excited since today is the first Tuesday of the month. We got our... this is the first month that there are only PlayStation 4 games being given away as part of PS Plus.
Oh.
Up until last month, there were two PS4, two PS3, and two Vita games. And a lot of those PS3 and Vita games ended up being cross-buy with PS4, so you ended up with, like, you know, six or seven games on a couple of months. This month, we got The Witness, which was the follow-up by the dude who made Braid.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I've heard of this.
Yeah, so apparently, like, it's reviewed very, very well, and people who are into that sort of game seem to really, really like it. I haven't had a chance to give it a shot. I had to go to the dentist today because, you know, life is not fair. just how many more times can I get one cap replaced, Chris? How many more?
I don't know.
Seven? Give me a number.
What are you up to now?
Two. That's way too many times.
Well, how often do you use the cap?
Daily. However...
Are you telling me that you're an expert at busting a cap?
apparently? I didn't realize it till just now.
Well, you know what? You're welcome.
I mean... Really, honestly, thank you. Who knew that I was, if anybody was about to bust a cap, it would be me.
Repeatedly.
Repeatedly bussing caps. Anyway, the other game that came out this month was...
Moving on from that ridiculous line of conversation.
Yeah, no, there's no good transition. I mean, bust a cap into Modern Warfare, there's a through line there, but I'm not... Sure. I mean... Why not? So the other PS Plus game this month is Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the remastered one that they put out. So I am actually very excited to dive into that because the first two Modern Warfare games are really, really fun. Like, they're really, really honestly good games. Like, there is a reason that Call of Duty became this gigantic phenomenon.
Well, I mean, it. You know, Medal of Honor. Remember when Medal of Honor was like the king, and then everyone was like, yo, this game Call of Duty came out on PC. You got to try that out. And then it hit consoles, and everyone was like, what's a Medal of Honor?
What's a Medal of Honor? This, and these two in particular, Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2, were like the games that got me back into first-person shooters as much as I am into them. So getting to go back and play this one in a completely remastered version, I'm very excited to dive into this one. So I'll let you know about that next, because I know you ain't playing.
Nope. Not my cup of bullets.
I almost bought the Bloodstained, the 8-bit version. Yeah, almost.
What stopped you? Isn't it like $3 or something?
No, it's like $10. Oh. I don't know. Tiff told me to buy it.
That's great.
And I was like, no. I don't know why. I don't have a good reason why I didn't buy it.
It's just, it's, you know, a fancy new Castlevania 3.
I mean, I was going to spend money on Magic Stones and Puzzle and Dragons, but I didn't even do that.
Wow.
And spend it.
Are you okay?
I don't think so, Chris.
do you need to talk to someone?
I might. I'm about to drop $20 on this Shinra Bansho collab that I don't even care about. It's just, you get a guaranteed 7-star card and 20 stones for $20, and that's a fucking deal.
You know, you just said Shinra Bansho, and all I'm thinking of is, like, it's Final Fantasy VII, but with the Bansho fan from Dragon Ball.
Oh, that would be so dope.
That's not what that is?
No, no. Damn. Shin, I th-
It doesn't matter. Whatever you tell me is not going to live up to what was in my imagination. So
no,
just,
it,
just let me
it's
have
not.
This.
Shinra Bansho in Japan is like, fuck, nobody cares, I don't think, but it's like a like chocolate company, like candy, that also has characters. It's some very Japanese thing that sounds really awesome, and it's like the kind of shit that we never get over here, but they've had collabs for years in Puzzle and Dragons, and apparently that company is shutting down production. So this is like the last time it's going to come around. So they like buffed the shit out of all the cards and like added a bunch of new stuff. And there's like 30 cards that you can get, and there's only like 3 7 stars. Like, well, fuck, I guess I'll buy the $20 thing so I can get one of them for, you know, collection purposes.
Godspeed.
I mean, you know what? I have a problem, Chris.
It's only a problem if it's problematic. That's How's true. That for a proverb for you?
That was pretty good. They did reveal that with the Yu Yu Hakusho collab coming back, at least in Japan on Monday, this coming Monday, so 3 days from when this podcast comes out, Yusuke himself will be getting a demon form evolution, and that is such a dope part of that show.
Again, I'll take your word for it.
You never watched Yu Yu?
I did not.
I feel like you would love it. I really honestly do.
I was something about the art direction I did not care for, and I was watching other animes at the time, and I just never went back to it. Maybe I will someday. I'll just throw it on the, you know, giant dumpster fire of shit that I'm supposed to watch.
It's a really weird show that somehow goes from being like spirit detectives into, like all other anime at that time, like, shit, we're at a martial arts tournament. Cool. For some reason.
There's awesome. No better problem solver than a martial arts tournament.
You know, if anime has taught me nothing else, it has taught me that.
Yeah.
That's and how we settle disputes on what we're going to have for dinner in the house.
It's very time consuming.
It is. Well, I mean, not here. There's only 4 of us, and I'm real strong. I usually win. And then I still just ask Tiff anyway. I don't know what you want. But we just had this tournament. All this shit is broken. You punched the kid in the face. And what do you want, though?
I don't really know where to go from here. I mean, should I call the cops?
I always like to end this little introductory bit here in the beginning on a kind of, I feel like I've done so today.
Well, that's deeply concerning. Moving on.
Isn't that special? I feel like if we could just get like a church lady drop, that would be good. Mm. Evan, church lady drop.
Well, isn't that special?
I'm sure he's on it right now.
He might, you know, honestly, he is.
He is.
And if not, I think the title of this episode should be Church Lady Drop, and we should edit out all of this.
So as you were talking, I noticed that the Nintendo Switch Online NES titles for this month were announced.
Mm.
And this is a strange one.
Hmm.
So the last couple of months, we've only gotten 2, and Japan's gotten 3.
Right.
And we've gotten 2 because the third one has been some sort of Japan-only game that never got localized here.
Right. Some sort of weird thing that even if they just gave it to us, we'd be like, I don't know what any of this is.
Yeah, like, ooh. I played the Sumo one from last month. It was dumb. Like, okay, this is cute. I'll never play this again. Yeah. But now I can say that I did. So, what's weird this month is that, again, we're only getting 2, they're getting 3, but we're not getting 2 of their games, they're not getting 1 of ours. So, we're getting Kid Icarus.
Hooray! Nice!
And Star Tropics.
Ooh! Really good choices.
Yeah, that is a pair of winners right there. Yeah. I am super excited because Japan is also getting Kid Icarus, but it is the Famicom Disk System version of Kid Icarus. So I will be enjoying playing through that game and seeing what minor differences there are between the two besides the sound. And like, I think there's a save system or whatever. Very excited about that. But they are also getting, I've never known how to pronounce this game. Yar Kung Fu? Yar Kung Fu? I don't know.
I've always said Yair.
Sure, let's go with that. They're getting that game, and they're getting Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, the very first Fire Emblem game.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'd say, maybe I'll give it a try, except it's not in English, so...
Right, that's going to be problematic at best.
I won't understand a thing.
Didn't we get a localized version of Yair Kung Fu?
I feel like we did.
I feel like there's really no good reason for me to know that game if we didn't have it.
That's a good point. Let me look this up, because that now sounds very familiar.
Was there an arcade version of that?
It says it came out on NES.
I thought so.
There was an arcade game. So the Wikipedia just says Famicom/NES. Let me look up on Moby Games. They're usually better. Y-I-E-A-R. K-U-G, Fu. Yair Kung Fu. CPC, Arcade, BBC Micro, Commodore 64, Electron, Windows, Windows Mobile. Oh, there it is, 1985. Oh, that's still the Famicom box. Did it come out here in America, I wonder? Yeah, see, this is saying April 22nd, 1985, and... that definitely wasn't happening here in America, if that's the case.
I mean, maybe I just played the arcade version of this game.
Yeah, I don't know why I know this game, but I definitely know this game.
I definitely know it. I've definitely played it.
Wonder, was this ports and related releases? An emulated version, blah, 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 was released, blah, 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 de, blah, de, blah.
I mean, I probably
showed up
on
some compilations, like Konami Coin Op.
Maybe that was it.
The NES version was relaunched for the Game Boy Color.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no.
I might have played this on the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, maybe. I don't
know.
I'm
starting to remember, like, kind of squat little sprites.
Widely ported to platforms MSX, Famicom, C64. Yeah, this is going to bug me out, man. Wonder if I own some form of this. Now I'm just going to check my collection.
Now you realize you own 17 versions. Oh, shit. I don't know. I might have to go revisit this one for this summer's Kung Fu Fridays.
Yeah, possibly. Very interesting. All right, so that's neat. So I'm gonna get to play with those. When is this happening? On March 13th. Very excited to jump into a little bit of Kid Icarus with my spare time.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots of this right now. I definitely played the arcade version.
Gotcha.
I do not know if I played the NES version, because man, did that not translate well.
The other thing that is, the thing that's been consuming my mind most of this week has been, that First Four Figures has announced pre-orders opening this Friday, which, is the day this podcast goes live for their Mario on Yoshi statue.
Right.
I read it.
How much is it?
They have not announced the price yet.
Not a good
sign. If I had to venture a guess, it was probably going to be somewhere around the $600.
Oh!
If I had to venture a guess, because it's one of the, I think, resin statues or whatever. It's like the Samus and the Link that I have. You know, the Link on Epona. This would look so good in between those two.
I mean, it would.
Really?
But that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Of course, I don't know. It could be less. I really don't know what to expect out of this thing. Because I've seen, the thing is that while, yes, this is two characters, so I guess they could get away with saying, oh, it's two characters, charge like $800 for this. But it's also not a very detailed statue because it's Mario and Yoshi. They are by nature not overly detailed characters.
Right.
The Link on Epona that I bought is extraordinarily detailed, and that was $500 when I got it, which was, you know, I pre-ordered that one and bought it when it came out.
Right.
This one, I'm putting some serious thought into, like, is there some, once I see what the price is, I might have to look into seeing if there's something I can sell, because this is kind of wonderful.
Now, you didn't get the Banjo-Kazooie one, right?
No, I am not a fan. I am not a Banjo of Banjo.
Not a Banjo of Banjo. I will say I love the Conker's Bad Fur Day.
I do, too.
That they have, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
The Ridley is pretty great.
Oh, the Meta Ridley looks amazing.
The Shovel Knight is pretty great. They're just so fucking expensive.
They are. I mean, you know, they're statues. They don't seem more expensive than other statues, like, you know, Bowen statues and whatnot back when they were still doing things. Not by much, anyway. You know, I really liked the Alucard statue from Symphony of the Night, but that's not really... I don't care enough about Alucard to say I need to have that.
Right. The Phoenix Wright one is dope.
I was actually really happy the Kirby one I didn't like more, just because I like Kirby quite a bit. But, I don't know, the statue isn't... Something about him just doesn't rub me as flawless. Although, you know, I'm looking at him now, he probably looks way better in person, but... Something about his paint job just kind of rubbed me off, but
sure.
So Kirby, okay, wasn't completely floored. All the Zelda ones that they do are really nice, but I already have Link on Epona, and that's pretty much enough for me. I did really want the Mega Man Classic, but I didn't like it as much as I wanted to.
Right.
It's only $200, which is kind of cool. It's just him running, and there's just something about his face that didn't really sit well with me, but man, it's pretty rad.
Yeah, I have never gotten into the figure, into the statues, I mean.
Well, it's a really, really expensive habit, so.
It really is, and like that's always what's really turned me off about it. You know, because like they're really cool.
But you got that they take up space, and so that's the thing. I've never really wanted to, like, I'm going to collect statues, because really what would be the point of that? I don't have a giant place to store them or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you know, the Solid Snake one is just ridiculous.
My buddy Crispy is super big into the, like, really, really detailed, like, 12-inch replica figures of, like, all the movie character, like, all the, you know, like, oh God, I can't remember who makes them right now. Sideshow?
Oh, yeah, I know the Sideshow ones, yeah.
Yeah, like, the big 12-inch ones with, yep, like, the cloth clothing and, like, I mean, he spends an inordinate amount of money.
Yeah, those things are crazy. I don't love those because when they involve cloth, and, you know, you can get a little paintbrush and dust these things off real easily. You can't do that to the cloth things. So, like, there's some, like, amazing Batman ones of the Sideshow collectibles, but I just don't know about keeping those things clean just seems like a pain.
At the end of the day, I mean, you're looking at thousands and thousands. It's fucking, I mean, it's just too rich for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Just too rich.
You are not wrong. I am right there with you. So
I'll keep with the Funko Pops.
I'm eyeing up this Mario statue because it's Mario on Yoshi, and it looks perfect. It just looks wonderful to me. So,
it does look like the game come to life.
Yeah, and that's really the Zelda one's perfect. The Metroid one's perfect. Really, Mario, Metroid, Zelda. That's it right there. The only other one that they could ever make that would make me just drop everything and say I need to get that is if they made a Pit statue, which they never will.
Or Gunman Clive.
Nah, not a chance. I like Gunman Clive. I have to like something a lot to dive into something like this. And there's just very few that I would put up there. And Mario it's just Mario on Yoshi, and it's perfect.
It does look really, really
nice. Did you see the Bowser that they did too? Last year or a year before or whatever, with the flame that lights up. That was pretty wonderful. I didn't even go for the Wind Waker one. I really wanted to with Link on the King of Red Lions, and it's amazing, but I actually saw one in person not that long ago, and I'm glad I didn't go for it because it's freaking enormous. It is so much bigger than I would ever have anywhere to put it. Even I have my statues at my office at work because I'm not keeping them in the house on display with the kids, you know.
Right.
One false move and I'm out. Like, those things are permanently gone. Right. So I have them safe at my office at work, and I have this nice cabinet that I have them on there. It's a perfect height, and it's not, you know, going to fall, you know, underneath the pressure of the weight of the statues. It's perfect. But even that would have almost not been big enough. Like, you know, I would have had to move other things off the cabinet to fit the King of Red Lions. That thing is gigantic. Right. So, as awesome as it is, and now Wind Waker is my favorite game, I'm glad I never picked that one up.
Yeah. That's fair. Like I said, I will stick with Funko Pops because those are like an impulse purchase.
You sure can.
Hell, I'm looking at the Elton John one I was just gifted. It's pretty great. It was how my aunt told me that she got me tickets for my birthday in October to go see Elton John live. I got an Elton John Funko Pop. Very excited about it.
That's a pretty great way of giving a gift.
Yeah, right?
Let's see. Anyway, I have been playing a little bit more Tetris 99.
Mm-hmm.
I am still always the bridesmaid. Gotten second place 2 more times. Those times I just choked. I got to the end and I just friggin' choked because it is freaking intense when you get to that point. I choked both those times, but I've also, you know, I've gotten 11th, 9th, 8th, a couple of rounds I'll get knocked out super early where I'll just be like chilling out all the way down at the bottom of the screen, and then there is no defense. It'll just be like, okay, I have my lines cleared. I'm down at the bottom. And then all of a sudden, one move, I've gotten killed in 2 moves. I'll just place a block.
Really?
Place another block through the ceiling. Like, there is no defense against that, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast. That just happens sometimes. I'm still really enjoying Tetris 99. Very, very happy with that game. And I will get first place one of these days.
You will.
I will achieve Victory Royale, and it will be great. I'll take a screenshot, and then I'll never play it again.
And that'll be that. That'll be the end of that. I'm done with this now.
It is. It is just wonderfully perfect pickup and, like, finite amount of Tetris to play, you know? Because if you're just playing one player and just going on marathon, like, I could keep that going for a very, very long time. And this is, like, a little bit more exciting than just playing against the computer. It's just, okay, I've got about 10 minutes. I'm going for it. I am still trudging through Oracle of Ages. I am still not enjoying it all that much. I will say that there are some... The dungeon design is pretty good. I will give the dungeon design my thumbs up. I've had the most fun when I've been in dungeons in this game. I think I'm through 3 of them now. And I've enjoyed all 3. The bosses are still horseshit. They're just trash. I got this seed launcher item in this stage, and the seeds bounce off of walls. And so I was fighting this, witch ghost type thing or whatever, and it would only move and, like, show itself if I was facing away from it. So I said, okay, clearly I have to shoot a seed at the wall, which will bounce back and hit the witch. I did that 3 times, and it didn't work. So then I spend another 10 minutes or so just futzing around trying to figure out how to hurt this thing, because the thing that made the most sense just didn't work. So I eventually gave up and looked up online, and you do have to do exactly that. You shoot the seeds and they bounce back, and they have like a 75% hit rate for no discernible reason that I can tell. I eventually beat the witch, but it only connected some of the times. Some of the times it just had no effect, and I could not figure out what was different about the times that I hit it and the times that I didn't. And that was baloney. But
that is baloney.
Remember I told you about that stupid bear? I ran into that bear again. I got out of a dungeon, and then those stupid giant, like a hideous giant headed fairies from Majora's Mask showed up and like, there's a bear lost in our woods. And so I went into the woods and I had to figure out the stupid way to because the woods repeat themselves depending on which screens you go to. It's you know that what really chestnut. Pisses me off? Really chaps my ass about this game. All of the new music is freaking garbage. Every song that is not from a previous Zelda game is just straight up trash. I'm in the woods in this game, and it's just, I turned the sound off. I couldn't even freaking take it anymore. It's
which
all of it is
never
awful.
Do.
Yeah, I never turn off music in games. Almost never. I'll even keep the music on in Tetris 99. Although I have found that I've had better luck when I turn the music off because it's less intense.
Okay.
I don't have to listen to Flight of the Bumblebee as it gets down to the top 10, which is such a dick musical move right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, the music is just garbage in this game. Then I helped the bear and I flew across another chasm and then the bear went away again. And I rode on a weird sea monster lizard thing. It wasn't like a cool Loch Ness monster thing. It was just this little sea lizard crawly guy that would swim or whatever, but he wouldn't swim too far because he said he'd get lost or something. There's all these weird limitations. The map is just not fun to explore. It's just not. And I keep having to talk to these stupid weird animals I have to ride, like some weird Adventure Island game or something. I'm just not digging this game at all.
I'm so surprised. I really honestly thought you were going to like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, end of the day, I am still playing a Zelda game, and it's pissing me off so much because it is being so intentionally derivative of Link's Awakening, and Link's Awakening is so good.
Right.
So it's just like, why am I spending this time with a less good Link's Awakening? Because it doesn't do anything better than Link's Awakening. Like, not a thing. At least from my perspective.
I mean, that's fair, I suppose.
Yeah. I do also want to give a quick shout out to on Twitter, at Evil Doorstop, messaged me that Awesome P consumed my evening last night after you mentioned it. And he bought the full version and can confirm that it is worth the money. So I'll probably be picking that up because I also really enjoyed the demo, but that made me pretty happy.
Yeah, I've looked at it a bunch of times on the PlayStation Store since last week.
Yeah, it's like, cute. It's cheap.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's a nice thing to have at my fingertips when necessary. But the coolest thing that I have played this week, hands down, bar none, is Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove.
Tell me about it. Tell me why that's the game that I should be spending my money on this week.
Well, did you like the original Toe Jam and Earl?
Very much.
Then absolutely buy this game. Because it is the original Toe Jam and Earl, but new. Like, it's not really a remake. It's just like, it's that game, but with all the kinks ironed out. You know, everything moves really smoothly. It's fun. It's relaxing, like the original Toe Jam and Earl is. You know, this is a game where you don't attack things. It's just walk right around and find stuff, and it's weird and it's funny. It looks great. You can play as classic Toe Jam and classic Earl, so they look like nice. They're dressed like their Genesis counterparts, which is what Karen and I did. We've played it a couple of times, and every time we play it, it's just so hard to put down. Because it's just like the original game, you just keep walking around looking for the little secret edges of the islands to show up, and falling down holes, and opening presents, and running away with the stupid hula girls. They still make you stand there and dance. And
oh, those pricks.
Yeah, it's great. It's just great. It is a very, very joyous little game. I don't know how long it is. We seem to be blowing through it pretty quickly, but again, it was $20, and I've easily gotten $20 worth of joy out of it.
Yeah.
If you liked the original Toe Jam and Earl, you gotta get this game. It's just that original game with much more polish and sheen and a modern shell. It's a great Human Nature Studios is such, they're such cool people. Like, I follow them on Twitter and they answer everybody. They've got a fun little thing going on with the Bubsy people. Bubsy and Toe Jam and Earl have a very amusing Twitter rapport going on.
They seem like good people.
Yeah, I backed this, not enough to get the game from Kickstarter, so I did wind up buying it on the Switch, because I think I was just broke at the time, so just threw him $5 because I was like, I just want this game to happen. So here's what I have to offer. And it's so good. There's no other game like Toe Jam and Earl. There just isn't.
There really never has been.
Because really, who else is going to make a game just about wandering around finding things? Like, yeah. No action. It's just,
nope.
Let's wander around and find stuff. Music's great, too. Great, just great
walk
music.
The earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kane and Kung Fu.
Yep, exactly. Except with way more funk.
They got a name for that, Jules. It's called being a bum.
So, Toe Jam and Earl, back in the groove. Two giant thumbs up from me.
Awesome.
I adore it. I also, oh yeah, I got the new Nintendo Force in the mail today. It has
yeah,
a double-sided...
still a thing that's happening?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's going fantastic. I haven't written for them since the Smash Brothers issue, which was two issues back. I actually did a bunch of character profiles in that one. That was really fun. Getting a writer write about the characters before the game came out and figuring out what's different about them in the new version. So that was a hoot. But the new issue is got Yoshi's Crafted World on the cover. It's got a double-sided poster of Yoshi and Kirby, because you know, Kirby's extra epic yarn came out for 3DS for some reason. And,
did it?
Because they're still tossing those 3DS games out there. And Crafted World comes out at the end of the month. They interviewed the author of Console Wars. I haven't really had much time to read it. I just flipped through it real quick to look at the pictures
really good
and see
book.
What's in it. Oh, it's a great book. So, yeah, I'm very excited to dive into the new Nintendo Force. I'm always happy when that magazine shows up.
That's awesome.
So before we get to what we're actually doing here tonight, let's do a quick update on the Bubsy Kickstarter, because we have to. There was a kind of sad update this week from the Bubsy Twitter, where they admitted that they don't think they're going to pull this off.
I saw that. That was really shitty.
Guys, they're not wrong. That did give them a little boost. They are currently sitting at 420 backers now, at $16,401. Last week they had 390 backers at $15,440. They're just a little bit more than halfway to their goal, and I just don't see that coming together for them.
I mean, but also think about it this way. There is $16,000 worth of investment into a Bubsy Endless Runner.
Into Bubsy DLC. This isn't a Kickstarter for the game. The game's coming out no matter what. This is just a Kickstarter for DLC. That's kind of wild.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
For fucking Bubsy.
For Bubsy.
That's an exorbitant amount of dollars.
That being said, considering all of the PlayStation 4 PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch owners just in this country, considering how many people own those systems, that they've only been able to convince 420 people to pay for DLC, kind of gives you a window into exactly what this property is up for.
Well, it's
that's not
Bubsy.
A big number. Exactly, it's Bubsy.
It
I don't know that this is
Bubsy.
A good idea.
It's not a good idea at all. It remains Bubsy.
Now, this could turn out to be a really good game and have some strange word of mouth and then do something sales-wise.
It could, but
I'm not holding my breath for it. Even if the game is very good, I suspect I'm going to like it quite a bit, because it's basically Runner 3 with a you know, new levels and a Bubsy coat of paint. So I don't know. We'll see where this goes.
I mean, I will go back to the advice of my grandmother. Don't hold your breath with your hand on your ass, or you'll die in a funny position. I don't know that that's apropos of anything here, but
that's certainly hard advice to top.
Right? I mean, on that note.
Yeah, on that note. Well, you know what? I think we're gonna. I think we should probably take a break now, and then just do this whole next thing all in one shot, because that's what makes the most sense to me. So, to explain real quick what we're doing before we get into the break is we're gonna be doing for the next 3 weeks, we're doing a March Madness tournament of our favorite fighting game characters. And this week we're pitting Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter. So we're going to take a break, and you think about that for the next couple of seconds, because the break's not going to be very long. And then we're going to come back. We're going to have a conversation about Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter characters. You are listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around.
At Craft Branded, every glass is a limited edition, just like you. From people who love old-school video games to those that can't stop talking about their cat, they cater to all types of geeks. Find the perfect complement to all your questionable hobbies at craftbranded.com. And for a limited time and exclusively for Stone Age Gamer podcast listeners, Craft Branded is offering 10% off your first order. Use code STONEAGE10 for 10% off at craftbranded.com.
Hey, Dan, guess what?
What's that, Chris?
We have our own Discord server.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And by we, I mean Stone Age Gamer, not me and Dan. But yes, join for chat, coupon codes, and other perks at a link that we will provide in our show notes. Because, I mean, I could read it, https://discord.gg/v4g82jh. Or go to the show notes. If you don't want to type all that stuff into your browser or however Discord works. Want to become a verified customer on our Discord? Just DM an administrator with your customer email address. You must have an account on our store at least placed one order with us in the past. That's the Stone Age Gamer store. And if you go on this wonderful little Discord, there's a podcast channel that me and Dan are in, and we're talking about stuff all the time. We think, we don't know, it's new to us, but we're going to mess around with it and it's going to be fun. But there's also a retro gaming channel, a channel about flash carts. You got questions about any of the new products that are coming out on Stone Age Gamer? This is a great place to talk about that kind of stuff. So check it out. Go to the show notes for this episode and look for the Stone Age Gamer Discord and join the podcast channel and chat with me and Dan in real time because we're awesome.
We are.
And we have returned. Just because I wanted to change things up. Why did I say we're back? Yeah, we're back. Let's do some brackets.
Brackets. Bracketology, Chris.
Yeah, bracketologists. So what we did is, here's how this is going to roll. We've got 3 weeks of this stuff. The first week, we're going to pit characters from Street Fighter versus characters from Mortal Kombat. Second week, which is next week, we're going to do Tekken versus Soul Calibur. And then the third week, the two winning games, not those characters, are going to go against each other, and we're going to pick a winner from that. It doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't have to. It's just going to be fun. So the way we did it is Dan and I basically sat down and figured out, okay, these are the characters that we want to represent in the first round for all these games. And then I stuck them in a little randomizer thing to see who they'd get pitted up against. So all these characters are just, we didn't pick what these verses are, we just picked the characters. So they're all going up against some relatively random randos here, which is fun.
Yeah, because otherwise it would have been way too easy for us to be like, oh, this guy wins all the way through, because we did that. You know, like, yeah. So I think this
makes it a little
sense.
More interesting, a little more juicy, as it were.
Yeah.
So let's get started.
All right. And I, like, what's exciting is that I am hearing this for the first time as well.
Yeah, I did the randomizer earlier, and I just have it on a totally separate spreadsheet here. All right, so the first round, surprisingly enough, the first round is a couple of pretty main characters. Our first round is Ryu versus Liu Kang.
Ooh.
I feel like I know where my heart lies here, but let's go over pros and cons here. At the end of the day, Ryu doesn't have a lot of personality. You know, he's I'm going to go punch a waterfall now. I just want to be strong. I live for the fight. He does not care for shoes.
No.
At least he hasn't since Street Fighter 1, which they were really just slippers.
They were, yeah.
He is remarkably well-groomed for what basically amounts to a martial arts hobo.
So that's a point in his favor, right?
It is. I mean, all right, so this guy wanders around completely homeless, no money, just goes around fighting people. Like, that is this guy's life. And his white karate gi is freaking pristine.
It is.
Like, color-wise, it's, you know, frayed and stuff around the edges, which is fine. You know, especially around, like, his feet and whatnot. But Street Fighter 3, that man is looking... His whites are whiter, and his brights are brighter.
He is red headband. Sharp.
He's very sharp. He's got some very serious eyebrows. Very respectably serious eyebrows. I mean, if I remember correctly, he has the kind of eyebrows similar to Solid Snake. Well, actually a little different. I think Ryu's eyebrows actually exist over his headband, whereas Solid Snake's eyebrows are kind of incorporated into his headband.
Solid Snake's eyebrows are his headband.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Ryu. I mean, it makes as much sense as the rest of Metal Gear.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, however, that is a podcast for a podcast we have already recorded.
Indeed. Yeah, Ryu's eyebrows are so serious, they actually just push right over his headband, which makes zero sense. And that actually doesn't even matter.
He means it.
Exactly. Ryu's had some very good interpretations over the years. I've liked pretty much every reinvention of the character until you get to, like, silly, like, evil Ryu and whatnot, which I think...
Even those I like.
Those I've liked until this new really silly devil Ryu, whatever the hell his name is.
Kage?
Kage from Street Fighter V. That just looks silly.
I like Kage a lot.
Yeah, I'm not really into that, but...
It's kind of a weird... Like, Kage is the physical manifestation of evil Ryu, like, life.
I know all about what he is, and I was like, that's a neat idea, but those little devil horns make him look stupid. I thought evil Ryu with the, like, the big chest hole was way more imposing looking than this clown. But, whatever, that's a different character. We're not talking about him. You think about him in Street Fighter 2, and then, his slightly older look in Street Fighter 3. I like the bearded look in Street Fighter 5. I think
that's
bearded Hobo Ryu is pretty slick looking. I love his younger look in Street Fighter Alpha with the white headband before Ken gave him the red one. He does definitely have a weak movie appearance. He, in Street Fighter, the movie was pretty sad.
Yes. That is true.
Low tier stuff. So, any other thoughts, comments we want to say about Ryu before we start talking about Liu Kang?
No, man. I think you pretty much nailed it. I mean, he is, like, I think without question the most identifiable character. You know what I mean? Like, that when at least for me anyway, when I think of fighting games, like
I agree.
Of,
100%.
Like, yeah. That's the first one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, not to give away where my vote is going to go, because maybe Liu Kang, but no. But maybe.
But just in the interest of speaking about Mr. Kang, Mr. Kang is supposed essentially the main character of Mortal Kombat, at least at the beginning. He was, like, the guy. He was a pretty bland looking character in the first game, you know, just had some white sneakers and black pants. He started to get a little bit more character as the series progressed a bit.
Yeah. But, I definitely liked the updated look in Mortal Kombat 2, like with the red stripe down the pants and the headband
and whatnot. He definitely looked cooler in Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat 2 also had the awesome bicycle kick.
Yes. You
know, we're talking about, yeah, obviously, you know, his Ryu's fireball, hands down, better than Liu Kang's fireball. Ryu's
without
got
question.
The uppercut, yeah. You know, the dragon punch. Liu Kang doesn't really have an analog for that. But,
no, because the bicycle kick thing is just that lame-ass fatality.
Yeah. His silly little bicycle kick, though, the...
Yeah.
That move is definitely cooler than a Tatsumaki. I think it's cooler than the Tatsumaki. Or at least it's cooler than Ryu's. Because Ryu's just does one hit and knocks you away. Ken's the one that... Ken and Akuma get the multiple hits out of it.
Good point. Good point.
We'll talk to them. We'll talk about them later. Just for the hilarity factor alone, I'll give the point. I'll give Liu Kang a point there for that bicycle kick. His movie appearance was way cooler. Definitely,
that is definitely true.
Yeah, that Liu Kang in the Mortal Kombat movie. Let's just say the first one, because I don't like to talk about Armageddon if I don't have to.
I don't know that I've ever even seen Armageddon.
It's so bad.
The Mortal Kombat Armageddon or the Ben Affleck vehicle. I don't think I've seen either.
The Ben Affleck vehicle is a good, stupid time.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't like Aerosmith.
I still don't recommend it, but...
I'm not an Aerosmith guy, so I never watched the movie.
Yeah, I mean, they're not in it. Just some of their music is, but...
Yeah, that's more than enough
for
me. Oh,
no, but yeah, you get... Steve Buscemi goes crazy, and then, like, they're, like, Steve Buscemi, Ben Affleck, and Bruce Willis are all, like, on an asteroid in the middle of space with drilling equipment. It's great.
I mean, sure, but, like, if I want to watch Steve Buscemi go crazy, there are plenty of other options.
Yeah, but with Bruce Willis on an asteroid in space?
Yeah, well, I mean... There's, oh time. God, what is it? Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore, where he like is like crosses Adam Sandler's name off the list and then like puts makeup on.
I don't know. That's fair.
That's a bit fun. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, Liu Kang, important character. I'm looking at his evolution. You know, Mortal Kombat 1, 2, 3, and 4. Are all looking like, hey, I'm Liu Kang, but then in Deception and Armageddon, he was dead.
Yeah.
So he was zombie true. Liu Kang. That was weird. But then
that's not cool.
Then he came back as like a dude, and he doesn't look super impressive. He just looks like Liu Kang. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. No, this goes to Ryu.
I agree. This definitely goes to Ryu. No question.
Or however the fuck you want to say it.
Ryu wins round one. Sorry, yeah. Liu Kang. You tried.
Question. But not all that hard, Liu Kang. You should have tried harder.
Liu Kang definitely could have beaten some... I feel like Liu Kang could have won some sort of something, but not against Ryu. Ryu's too cool.
I don't know that I would even take Liu Kang over Fei Long.
Yeah, you know what? I hate to agree with you, but you're kind of right.
I don't think Liu Kang would win against any Street Fighter character.
I don't know. I'd pick him over Birdie. I'd definitely pick him over Rufus. I would pick him over Rufus in a heartbeat.
No, Rufus is great.
Rufus is awful.
Rufus is awful.
A terrible character design.
But at least he's interesting.
Yeah, Liu Kang can turn into a dragon?
That's a fair point. That is an excellent point that I had not considered.
Rufus can just be a fat guy. He can twirl around.
It looks real good, though.
Ugh. Barf. Yeah.
All right,
this next round, I don't think we're going to have much to talk about this time around, but let's stretch it out, all right?
Okay.
Next round, representing Street Fighter is Cammy, and representing Mortal Kombat is Scorpion.
This is a hard one.
This is a real tough call, isn't it?
This is a real tough one. I really like Cammy.
I like Cammy.
I always thought Cammy was a really, really fun character to play as because her special moves allowed you to fuck with people's verticality on, as far as where you are expecting to block or plan out moves.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's like
Cammy's her little way of dodging the fireball with that little backhand move was a really... She was a very neat addition to Street Fighter 2. She didn't play like anyone else. She was then cloned about 400 times between Julie, Junie, and DiCapri, and whatever. But the original
all
original
characters
recipe
who would
Cammy,
beat out Liu Kang, by the way.
Yeah. Original recipe Cammy is a very cool character. I've always been a little... like Cammy's character design is just like, and it's an ass fetish.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It is. If you are into thighs and asses, Cammy's your girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could argue Chun-Li, but Chun-Li is wearing stockings. And, like, if you're into stockings and thighs, then Chun-Li is your girl. But if you're into bare thighs, right, Cammy's the way to go. It certainly always felt distasteful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the first time you saw Cammy's design, you were like, I don't know. Maybe not. Because, like, what are the little green marks on your leg? Like,
I've never really been able to figure that out. Are they tattoos or are they some sort of pants? Because they change from game to game.
They
do. Street Fighter Alpha, they look like lightning bolts, and then they look like camouflage in like later games. I don't know. Friggin' weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. I do appreciate that in the new Street Fighter, she is wearing pants.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we've just way moved past this as an acceptable character design.
Mm-hmm. And just why would anyone go into any combat situation looking like this?
Does not make any sense. The braids were cool though.
Pretty much everything from the waist up is fine.
She is a very cool looking character. The way she fought was really cool.
Yeah, her moves are neat. The cannon drill is a cool move.
Yeah, Cammy is an excellent character.
She is. She is. But, she is an excellent character.
But Scorpion.
Yeah. Oh, she was also played by Kylie Minogue in the Street Fighter movie.
She was also what?
Minogue in the Street Fighter movie.
She was played by Kylie Minogue in the Street Fighter movie, which is something that was... Kylie Minogue did not play Scorpion in the Mortal Kombat.
She did not.
As far as I know, she might have.
Actually. Yeah, it's true. I don't know what she does with her spare time.
She very well might. But come on, this isn't even...
It's not even close.
It's not even close.
Scorpion is one of the freaking coolest game characters. Like, not even just fighting game characters. Scorpion is so cool.
They did such a great job of defining him as, like, just this fucking ninja demon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there you go. Ninja demon.
And, I know there's some sort of backstory with him, with, like, his family was killed by Sub-Zero's clan.
Yeah, by the Lin Kuei.
Yeah, and this is just, like, him coming back in vengeance. But even if you don't know that, he's this totally rad-looking ninja who's got a roped spear. He just throws it into your chest and says, get over here!
Yeah.
And if that's not one of the most iconic things ever, is him yelling, come here and get over here. And then his finishing move. Where he takes off his mask and it's a skull and he just burns you to the ground.
So cool.
Unreal. Scorpion is so good.
A great look. And then once they added that fucking that leg takedown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was way in. This was my dude.
Scorpion.
I love Scorpion.
And as they've reinvented him over the years, I feel like he's one of those characters that has not gotten worse.
No, not at all. He is even better.
Yeah, because the thing with Scorpion is, like, a lot of Mortal Kombat characters, as a matter of fact, first off, Scorpion was amazing in the movie. I was pissed that he lost to Johnny Cage. I love that they made his little roped spear, that weird bird lizard thing or whatever that lived
that
in his
cool.
hand. That was freaking awesome. They did that. Everything with him in that movie was just so freaking cool. But as that character evolved over the years, like, they just kept adding nuance to his outfit and it just keeps working for him. Like, it was a pretty basic design, then continued in MK2. But then in like 3 and 4, they started to add like the little ridges to the yellow. Then once Mortal Kombat Dark Alliance showed up and he just looked like a ninja with like armor on, it just was awesome. They just kept going from there. And he's such a great design. He's such an awesome character. His fatalities are always interesting. He's awesome. Scorpion's one of the best.
Yeah, Scorpion down. Scorpion wins.
Scorpion wins. A hot dog.
A hot dog. Toasty.
He is the ultimate in toasty. Okay. Next round. This one is actually going to be tough. I really don't know where I land on this one.
Okay.
Representing Street Fighter, we have M. Bison. Mm. And I mean, like, the Shadaloo M. Bison, not Japanese one.
Dictator.
Dictator. And representing Mortal Kombat is Goro.
Prince Goro. Wins.
Even if we run right to the movie representations, this is a tough call because M. Bison was represented by the late great Raul Julia in the only way his performance could have been more hammy if he was a literal ham. I mean,
you are
it
not
was Tuesday.
Wrong.
On the other hand, and I know Tiff has some sort of strange warped perspective on what the Goro visual effect was, with like, no, you could see the strings. Like, there were no strings. It was a robot. That is a really impressive robot, especially considering when this came out. I'm still convinced that that was 90% of the film's budget was just making Goro function.
The other 10% was fucking Raiden's glowy eyes.
The other 10% was sobering up Christopher Lambert. Put this hat on.
Why? Oh, what a... I was in Highlander. Were you? Shut up, Christopher Lambert. Shut up, Lambert. Fucking name's Lambert, you dick.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Okay. I would think possibly I'd give the slight edge to Bison and the movie representation department just because, well, Raul Julia, it was Tuesday. Amazing. The suit gives him CPR.
Yeah, that's...
so silly. So,
as far as gameplay, though, because Goro's been playable a few times, Bison is way more fun to play as.
Bison is way more fun to play as. I will definitely give you that. His scissor kick move is awesome.
The scissor kick is great.
The jumping up in the air and stepping on your head.
Oh, that's fucking dope.
Mm-hmm. Psycho Crusher.
Psycho Crusher. And fucking coming across the screen.
And
he is an imposing final boss. Because that, and I think that that is a key distinction here in this round, Chris. M. Bison is the final boss of Street Fighter.
Of Street Fighter 2, anyway.
Of Street Fighter 2. Goro is the sub-boss to Shang Tsung.
That is true. But
not
if you want
to
talk about...
to be the final boss.
If you want to talk about being imposing, especially the first time you see them, M. Bison doesn't look like a whole lot when you see him the first time. He's got the cape on, he throws it off, and then he kicks the living garbage out of you.
Yes.
Goro, the whole fight before is you're in that dungeon... and you hear him like stomping around, and then all of a sudden he falls from the ceiling, and it's so loud in the arcade version of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And then if you don't know what you're doing, because it's the first time you fought Goro, this giant four-armed menace shows up and just picks you up with his bottom arms and beats the piss out of you with the top two.
That is very, that is a very, very excellent point.
I mean, Bison is amazing. Goro is also amazing. It's a tough call.
I feel like Goro has been watered down because got Kintaro,
definitely. Yeah,
and then who's the four-armed girl that you can play?
Shiva. Yeah, didn't care for her much.
She was cool, but like
she was all right.
Like there is nobody like Bison, you know.
Yeah,
Fighter bosses, I would argue, have gotten worse. Like
you wouldn't have to
pinnacle.
Argue at all.
Yeah. He's the pinnacle of Street Fighter bosses.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas Goro has been hurt by the representations of like the sub boss.
Mm-hmm. He's come back several times over the course of the years. And he's come back in very, you know, good designs. Like they haven't messed with him too much, so I feel like he still looks cool. And in the newer games, like, you know, Mortal Kombat X or 10, whatever you want to call it, he looked great in that game. Like it just, they added the gauntlets to him and the necklace and whatnot. He looked pretty good in that game. That being said, I think what's gonna push Bison over the top for me is two specific renditions of him. One, Street Fighter Alpha.
Yes.
Because while he wasn't super imposing looking in Street Fighter 2, I don't think, and until he started fighting you and pummeling the crap out of you, in Street Fighter Alpha, he was freaking beefy.
Yeah.
He was jacked in that game. And he was very, very imposing looking. But also in Street Fighter 5, they aged him a bit. You know, he's got some white hair. His outfit is it's like it's got kind of the longer jacket to it or whatever. It's even white haired older Bison, I think, actually is super imposing as well. I really, really like that newer look. I also really like in Mortal Kombat 5 how everyone, almost everyone, has aged to an extent. I think that's really cool.
They've done a good job with that.
We've spoken at length of my feelings on Street Fighter V, but the things that they've done right with Street Fighter V, I think they've done extremely right. I think I got to give this one to Bison.
Yeah, I think so.
This is definitely the closest call we've had so far.
Yeah, I mean, because you could argue Goro and not be wrong.
Yeah,
like,
but I still think
really good arguments.
Goro is a great character, but I think Bison's got to take it.
Yeah, I mean, Goro is awesome. I mean, because you're not wrong. That first time that Goro popped up, you were like, what the fuck?
The first time I heard that, I wasn't even watching that game. I was across the arcade, and I heard somebody get to him, and there's the pounding noise. Just like, and there was a crowd around the machine. I was like, what are they playing? And I walked over there, and I saw freaking Goro and these digitized graphics, and I was like, holy crap, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, it's next, Bison.
Next round. Chun-Li represents Street Fighter.
Mm.
Against Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat.
Ooh.
Right?
Mm.
I think I have my mind made up on this one.
Damn you, randomizer.
Yeah, this is a tough one, but I think we're going to have to do slightly less of a deep dive on some of these conversations so that we're not here all night. But so, all right, Chun-Li. One of the cooler women fighters in all of fighting games. Mm-hmm. One of the cooler women in video games. She has had a couple of bad looks. I'm looking at you, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah.
The teeny tiny head.
That was weird.
That was very, very strange. She was oddly represented by Ming-Na in the Street Fighter movie.
That wasn't great.
Nah, not great. But she was also part of the It Was Tuesday scene, so there you go. Her classic design is... What I like about her classic Street Fighter II design is that it's like... Obviously, there are certain aspects of her design that are the typical Japanese sexual fantasy situation.
Sure, there's cheesecake. But
there is cheesecake, but at the same time, it is not so ridiculous that it's like... It's not hyper-sexualized, right?
Right.
She's got pants on. She's got little flappy doos covering whatever the hell else. But it is like ornate, but it's also pretty badass. And she's a very capable fighter. She's got a great moveset. The spinning bird kick's a little weird, but the lightning kick is incredible. And the moves that have been added to her repertoire over the years, I mean, particularly her third strike iteration. I love that move where she, that flip kick that she does, where she mm-hmm. just spins around and just pounds the ground. Oh God. Absolutely amazing. She eventually got a fireball move in, I think one of the Street Fighter II revisions.
I mean, it was a dinky little fireball.
It was, but
it was a fireball.
A fireball, and eventually turned into a really badass looking fireball for her super moves and stuff. Her alpha outfit was really cool. Really interesting look. Loved her in Third Strike. Loved her in Street Fighter IV. Is she in Street Fighter V? She's got to be in Street Fighter V.
I mean, now that you question it, I don't know, but I...
She just seems to look like Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't look all that special in Street Fighter V. But her head is proportionate, so...
So that's something.
Way to go, Capcom.
I really like Chun-Li, but I feel like what you were mentioning, like with the moves that they have added to her, I feel like they've been trying to fix her since the beginning.
I don't know about that. I don't know about
maybe
fix her.
Maybe fix is the wrong word, but...
It didn't take much to put her on even keel, because they overfixed her to begin with, right? When they gave her the fireball the first time, it was basically just a blue version of Dalsim's fireball sprite, and it was just basically like, and now she has all of her moves plus Ryu's fireball, which kind of made her a little OP. So then when they went to Super Street Fighter 2 and they gave her the Kyoken a new animation, and it basically kind of nullified it a little bit. You know, it was still a functional fireball, but it was more to like set up things. You weren't really doing damage with the fireball. You were doing other things with it. You were using it to kind of, I just give her a little bit more of a distance thing. But she also has always had, I mean, she was one of my better characters in Street Fighter 2 because she had that wall jump that nobody else had.
Yeah.
You could, you know, jump off of the side of the screen, and then you could do that kick move with the down and light kick where you would bounce off the other person's head, and you could keep that going. I would get a couple of hits in off of that and really confuse people. She has gone through some pretty wild revisions, I think. But I don't know if that was necessarily... I don't know that I would buy that's like to fix her or even to really even her out. I just think it's just a natural evolution for that character that other characters like Ryu and Ken didn't really go through until Ken really in Street Fighter V, where they dramatically reimagined what his moveset was. Chun-Li's great.
Mm-hmm.
Now
the thighs are ridiculous.
Yes, thighs are ridiculous. They weren't that ridiculous. Like I'm looking at a Street Fighter II sprite, like they just looked like normal human thighs. And now I'm looking at her Street Fighter V, and her thighs are basically like the same as Zangief's.
Yeah, it's fucking
bananas.
That's
absurd.
And also, my Shinryu exists. I always liked Mai a little bit better. Not gonna lie.
Nah, I'm Chun-Li all the way.
All right.
Now, let's move on over to Mortal Kombat and talk about Sub-Zero.
Equally as cool as Scorpion.
At first, I would definitely agree with you there.
You have to ignore the one where he took off the mask and it was like, oh, it's a white dude.
Why you really like don't, though. And I think that's what's putting me... I think that's what's really putting me over the top in this round. I think that's what's pushing me towards Chun-Li, where Chun-Li has never had a bad iteration. Sub-Zero most definitely has had a bad iteration. Sub-Zero also... Well, this is kind of a wash, because Sub-Zero had that really, really... really bad game, Mortal Kombat Mythologies, Sub-Zero.
Yeah, that's so bad.
Chun-Li had the movie Legend of Chun-Li, so I kind of feel like...
That is a thing that exists that I had sure forgotten is. About until just now.
So I think that's kind of a wash. That being said, that Mortal Kombat 3 Sub-Zero is...
It's
terrible.
Bad.
That was a bad character design. He just looked like a dude in some really overworked suspenders.
Yep.
With a red scar over his eye. Yeah. Thumbs down.
Four thumbs down. Come on.
The
Charlie
other
Murphy.
Problem I see with Sub-Zero is that at a certain point, I'm having a hard time finding a good picture of Sub-Zero's character. Evolution. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for there we go. Around Mortal Kombat Deception was a second not so great iteration of Sub-Zero because they basically turned him into Shredder.
Yeah.
Like minus the sharp things. That was a bad look. That was not great. Now they've really course corrected. Especially I'm looking at his iteration in Mortal Kombat versus DC.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's got kind of the frost going on in his hands at all times. Mortal Kombat 9, he looks good. Mortal Kombat 10, he looks a little overworked. Scorpion definitely looks better, but still not bad. But, you know, Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat 2, he was, you know, Ken to Scorpion's Ryu, as it were. Like, although they were a little bit more even footing. There wasn't, like, Ryu and then Ken's the clone. It's just like, no, these two are just, like, two sides of the same coin.
Right.
But Mortal Kombat 3 really threw such a wrench in his works because Mortal Kombat 3 1, he looked dorky as heck. He's just terrible, terrible look. And then he had like that move where, you know, Mortal Kombat 2, he'd freeze the floor. And then Mortal Kombat 3, they added the one where he throws ice in the air and then it lands down on somebody. And that was kind of dumb.
This one's tough.
It is tough. right? Because
that Mortal Kombat 3, like, you're not wrong. That really does throw a whole wrench in the thing.
Even his Mortal Kombat 1 Super Nintendo edited fatality, like, you know, the original fatality, he's the one who ripped out the spinal cord. That's awesome.
That's
but
so
even
great.
The one that they edited for Super Nintendo was pretty awesome, where he froze you and then shattered you. That was pretty badass.
That's pretty violent.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, you know.
And it, you know, makes more sense for the character, but yeah. I love Sub-Zero quite a bit. He was awesome. How did he die in the movie? Oh, bucket of water.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah. Actually.
Pretty great. Man, that Mortal Kombat 3 is so bad.
I think that I personally want to give this round to Chun-Li because she's never had a bad iteration, whereas Sub-Zero has. And I think that's really because I think as fighters, as game characters, they're both on an even keel. Like their strengths and weaknesses are all super interesting. You know, he's got the slide move.
Yeah.
She's got all the amazing kicks and the air maneuverability, all the freezing mechanics that make zero sense. Like, I just froze you, but you were jumping, so you stay floating where you were?
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense.
Just that totally adds up. And he's got all the great fatalities. Sub-Zero is a super interesting character to play as, but so is Chun-Li.
I like the backstory of Sub-Zero.
Mm-hmm. Chun-Li has never had a bad appearance in a video game, though. Even Street Fighter the movie, the game, you know, you get to play as Ming-Na.
I mean, that's also something. I think we're going to have to go to the judges on this one, Chris.
Yeah, you're voting for Sub-Zero?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go for the tie. I won't be mad, but...
No, I'm not mad either way.
All right, let's go to our tiebreaker judge, Evan.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, how are you guys?
You know, living the dream. Evan, our intrepid editor, you're going to be our tiebreaker here. Chun-Li versus Sub-Zero, what do you think?
So, being as I'm not as involved in the games as much as you guys are, I'm just going to go with, like, personal feelings. When I played Mortal Kombat for the first time, I felt that Sub-Zero was just a retort to Scorpion. Like, we got this fire guy, let's make an ice guy, and I always felt he was a little bit less than.
Okay.
On top of that, I am a thighs and ass man.
Well,
so
that's that then.
For me, it would be Chun-Li all the way.
All right.
All right. Chun-Li it is.
Chun-Li it is. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, how can you be? Like, I wouldn't have been mad if you went with Sub-Zero. Thank you for your service, Evan.
My pleasure.
Okay, next round. This is a weird one. My character of choice in all of Street Fighterdom, Guile, versus Shao Kahn.
Ooh.
Also Colonel good. William F. Guile has some very unique hair.
He does.
He's a military man. He's got the flash kick. He's got the sonic boom. I love the sonic boom. I will always love the sonic boom. Everything about that move is amazing. Just, I love that it's a two-handed thing. I love the sonic boom. It's such a cool move. And it's just like, he's the charge character. He's how I learned what charge characters, he was the invention of charge characters, basically.
Yeah.
Guile is awesome, man. And he was the main character. He was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
The all-American Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And also, I mean, that stage music.
Oh, yeah. Guile's stage music. Can't negate that. Dude looks good in a number of colors.
He does.
He's awesome. Great with sunglasses. Great without.
He's gone through a pretty cool character evolution as well.
He has.
Like, as they've made him less and less ridiculous looking. Mm-hmm. I mean, he still looks ridiculous.
Yeah, the hair is just never going away.
No.
But still, regardless, like, there are a lot of things I like about him in Street Fighter V, like the way he, like, can, like, keep sonic booms going on his hands and stuff like that. Like, he's very interesting in Street Fighter V, but I love him, his basic approach, Street Fighter II and Street Fighter IV, the Marvel vs. Capcom games. Loved him in Alpha 3. Because as cool as Charlie is, I think Guile is cooler.
Oh, Guile's way cooler. I also love that he's a dude who is dedicated enough to the country to get American flag tattoos on both shoulders.
On both shoulders.
No matter what way you're looking at him, you know America is punching you in the face.
That's right. Now, I am not Mr., you know, I am not, I'm not ultra patriotic, but it just doesn't even matter with Guile. He's so cool. And I've always loved playing as him. Ever since Street Fighter II, he's been my favorite guy. He's been my go-to. Just I love the way he plays. I love his walk makes no sense. And that weird little hoppity-doo that he does. I don't understand it, and I don't care.
No, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
His suplexes, his mid-air grab, that backbreaker in mid-air, is just one of the best moves in Street Fighter.
That is pretty great.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
We know how much I hate charge characters.
I actually don't know that I did know that.
Yeah. Oh, I can't stand it. I cannot play as Bison was the only one I even got a little bit good. And even that.
I love charge characters because I'm very reactionary when it comes to fighting games. So that just speaks to me. I think his moves are great. I love the flash kick. I love the sonic boom. I love all his throws. He's just weird enough, but I think he's great. I think Guile's wonderful. Shao Kahn.
I do like him quite a bit.
Yeah. Shao Kahn, on the other hand, is a pretty neat design.
Who's gotten a lot more metal as time has gone on?
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking more and more like a, you know, fucking mid-90s death metal album as his design goes on.
I think that hammer of his is hysterical.
It's pretty great.
Because, I mean, you see what the guy is wearing. He doesn't have a whole lot going on. So when he just pulls a hammer out of somewhere and conks you over the head with this stone sledgehammer, it's kind of hilarious. I mean, really, my most exposure to Shao Kahn was Mortal Kombat 2, where, you know, and Mortal Kombat 2 and Mortal Kombat 3, where he just stop mid-match and point at you and make fun of you, and then you just punch him in the face. Because I was typically Scorpion, and then, like, he just pointed me and go, "You weak, pathetic." It's like, okay, I'm going to throw a spear at you now, you idiot.
Weak, pathetic fool.
But it was also, Shao Kahn was one of those cool video game storyline things where, you know, the last boss of the first game, like, oh, you thought that was the guy in charge? No, he actually answers to this guy.
Yeah.
Just like in Ninja Gaiden, where you're like, no, Ashtar's all like, oh, the Kaiowas failed. Well, screw that guy. I'll do it myself. Like, oh, there was a bigger bad. Turns out there wasn't. Ninja Gaiden's weird. But, you know, Shao Kahn was he's a pretty cool character. He's got those cute little green spears that he throws.
I'm going Guile.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay. Nice try.
Swing and a miss there, Shao Kahn. You're neat, but you're no Guile.
No, it's not really even.
Yeah, and his movie appearance was sad.
Still better than Raiden.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
All right.
Okay. Ooh, this is an interesting one. Representing Street Fighter, we have the Geef, Zangief.
The Geef.
And representing Mortal Kombat, Sonya Blade.
My initial reaction, I'll save my initial reaction.
Zangief wrestles bears.
I mean, yeah.
Zangief's got some extraordinarily well manicured chest hair.
It's
and
great.
Shin hair.
It's great.
As his outfit has evolved, it's basically stayed the same, except they've added a cape. Spinning pile driver. There's a metal version of him.
There's like a Mecha Zangief.
Mecha Zangief is a thing that has like the chest hair on it too.
Because of course it does.
Yeah. He bites your head. Like that's one of his moves. He'll just start chewing on your head.
Yeah.
Zangief's amazing.
Zangief fucking rules.
He is my weakness. I cannot use him. I cannot fight against him. But I love him.
I was so good with him.
I was always terrible with him.
Fucking ripping off 360 pile drivers like it was nothing.
Yeah, Zangief Zangief even has a connection to Mayor Mike Hagar. I mean,
the connection to Mike Hagar, like, this is a strong, strong competitor.
Really? Now, Sonya, on the other hand, was the girl. She was the Chun-Li for Mortal Kombat 1. Mm-hmm. Her look was never very impressive, but I think that's what made her such a cool fighter, because if you knew how to use her, nobody expected it, because who's going to pick Sonya? She's stupid, but she's actually not. Like, she looks ridiculous, but that leg grab
was so cool
and extremely useful. You just walk right over, and then all of a sudden, they just grab you, and then toss you behind, and then you bounce twice. So there's like this weird recovery to it. The air defense move, that weird little where she flies straight up and then shoots at you on a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
Like, that's another one of those things that's just, you master the timing on that, and you're always going to throw somebody's footing off. Her finishing move with the kiss of death, a little cheesy.
And it was still kind of cool.
It was kind of cool. The pink rings that she shoots out of her hand, like, I always thought those were neat because they made that weird crunching noise when they hit you.
Yeah.
They look like these little pink laser rings, but then they sound crunchy. It was very strange. So Sonya's actually pretty cool, and she's had a pretty nice evolution in the games as well. You know, after sitting out Mortal Kombat 2, you know, her outfit has changed for the better. You know, she just got a little bit more usable.
Yeah. She no longer looks like she's in a fucking jazzercise class.
Yeah. Their original Mortal Kombat look was not great.
No. No, it was not.
She just looked incredibly generic.
She's just always been kind of there.
Mm-hmm. She was then you think about her and the original Mortal Kombat movie.
Well,
The things that I remember most about that is, like, obviously she was a very attractive woman, and I remember watching this movie a lot when it came out on VHS, because I was obsessed with this movie, and I remember watching it, and my dad came into the room and was just like, see, here's how you can tell that this woman is not a martial artist. There's absolutely no muscle tone in her entire body. And ever since he said that, I wasn't able to look at that movie the same way again, because he's absolutely right. Like, this woman isn't even specifically in shape. Like,
no,
there's zero muscle tone. Pretty. Yeah, she's just pretty and scowls a lot.
Yeah, she does do that. Isn't that Pete Sampras's wife too?
I don't even know who it is.
I think so. It should be Ronda Rousey in whatever new movie they make, but
I think that's a thing, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I just looked up Sonya Blade and pictures of Ronda Rousey.
She is chiming in here. She is voicing the character for Mortal Kombat 11.
That's right. I knew there was some kind of connection there.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
All right.
Is totally Zangief, Chris.
No, I completely agree. Oh, yeah, that is Pete Sampras' wife.
Ex-wife, apparently.
Bridget Wilson Sampras.
Former. Tiff just said.
She hasn't acted since 2008.
It's a shame. Miss Veronica Vaughn.
So neat. No, I am 100% agreeance with you. This is the geef all the way.
Yeah. And this is what I was worried about. I thought that Street Fighter was really going to dominate here.
Yeah. I had a feeling.
I thought Mortal Kombat would have a shot.
but it is turning out.
But as we talk about it, it's a literal bloodbath.
Quite. Well, we still have two more to get through in the first round, and then I think the following rounds, we don't have to go in too deep on what the characters are, because we've done that already.
Yeah.
Next round is Sagat versus Raiden.
Hmm.
I think as far as movie appearances go, Sagat actually got the short end of the stick. And I do mean that literally, because he was really short in the movie, which is strange because Sagat is a tall guy.
Is a very tall, very cool fighter. I have always liked the idea of Sagat more than actual Sagat.
I'm with you there. I think my favorite Sagat is Street Fighter Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
I think he looked the best in that game. I loved how imposing he looked, but I've also never really loved how his moves are so similar to Ryu's, but they're so much, they're slower horizontally than his moves are.
Yeah.
You know, cause he's such a tall, lanky guy. He's a cool character design. There's no getting around it. The whole thing with the scar on his chest from the crazy dragon punch from the end of Street. He was the last boss in Street Fighter 1, you know?
Right.
And then he stuck around and he's the Muay Thai guy. His new weird pseudo hobo look in Street Fighter V is, you know, that's a thing, I guess.
It's,
he's got that
cool
rag around his shoulders. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a big tough guy, but I'm right there with you. I've always liked the idea of him. I've never really been especially good with him. I know people really swear by that character. I've never really been one of them. He's neat, but he's never been like my go-to in any way. In fact, I thought he looked downright silly in Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, I mean, I did always like spamming the move so that you could just, Tiger, Tiger,
yeah,
Tiger,
yeah.
Tiger. That was fun.
I like doing that specifically because the computer did that to me.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But on the other hand, Raiden, however you want to say it.
Raiden is Metal Gear, Raiden is Street Fighter.
Raiden
is the freaking god of lightning and thunder.
Yeah.
Raiden,
and such a cool looking character,
really is.
I mean, Christopher Lambert really tried his best to fuck that up. But
I don't think so.
Like, what was that accent? You're so white, Christopher Lambert. Jesus Christ,
that's Lambertese.
Oh, he's the worst.
I'm looking at this evolution of Raiden, and it's sick. He always looks awesome. Like, and they haven't even changed him all that much. You know, Mortal Kombat 1, it was very black and white, and then they added the blue, I don't know, vest, bulletproof vest, bib, x-ray thing to him. And then it just kept going from there. He just looks awesome. He just looks awesome. Always.
He looks great. He plays great. His fatalities always been super cool. Mm-hmm. The fucking teleport was so dope, like the way you could just whip that out and like, oh shit, this dude could tell, like, yeah.
Whereas in Mortal Kombat 2, where you hold down the high punch button for like 8 seconds and you can just walk up to somebody and go bugga, 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 and electrocute the heck out of them.
Whereas like Sagat was always just kind of a weaker, slower Ryu or Ken. Raiden is, there's nobody like him.
And
he's just so cool and so fun to play as.
He's just freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, this is Raiden all the way.
Agreed. Even like his standing animation, you know, where he's standing there and the lightning's just kind of zipping all over him. Yeah, I have to agree with you. This is definitely Raiden. Raiden takes that round. Sorry, Sagat. Raiden's just awesome.
Sagat. Bob Sagat.
Bob Sagat.
Bob Sagat. That's right. I mean, that's funny.
It is, but okay, last round, Ken versus Kitana. Ken, obviously the player two to Ryu's player one, who has gotten more and more of his own fighting personality over the years, to the point where in Street Fighter V, he is a very different character from Ryu.
Very, very different.
He's got a great personality. Ken masters. I love his throws, like his little backwards throw where he spins around once.
Mm-hmm.
I love his flaming uppercut. His Shoryuken with the fire added to it, I think, was a really great touch. I adore the one in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, where it's just like the one that just spirals straight up and it makes the big fire spiral around him and whatnot. It's,
yeah, that's pretty great.
That's so good. Ken was also the character with the the Street Fighter 3 parry moment. You know, he parried all of Chun-Li's super move. Not that's specific to Ken, but you know, it's one of those Ken memories.
That is still pretty dope.
Ken's great.
Pretty great.
He's a Ken's great character. Great. Other hand, Kitana. Yeah.
Kitana's fucking dope.
Sonya was cool. Kitana was way cooler.
Way cooler.
And like Melina's all right too, but
not even though.
Not even though. The silly, giant jaw and barfs up your bones or whatever.
Yeah, no.
That's cute. Cool. And her little psi moves or whatever. Kitana had such a great moveset. That trap move where she would like spin that fan around and just trap you if you were jumping towards her. That was great.
She was great. She played really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she felt like... Sonya felt like, well, we have to put a girl. So, here, blonde. Whereas Kitana felt like they actually put thought into what a fighter would be like.
Yeah, like, they basically... They had this idea for the fans. And like, all right, let's build a character around this. Because that move where she throws the fan and it just keeps spinning like a saw blade and blood shoots out everywhere.
Badass.
That's so good.
Badass. She's and had was, a really good evolution as well, where it has continued to be very, very cheesecake the entire time. Mm-hmm. But it has never gone so far off the rails. You know, like, it's still, tasteful is the wrong word, but it still kind of makes sense a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I don't love, like, the bikini kind of belly dancer look that they've given her so much. See, that's kind of where I go back a little bit more towards Ken, just
right.
Because her outfits have gotten increasingly overworked and underuseful. I did think Kitana was really cool in the Mortal Kombat movie.
She was very cool in the movie.
Yeah. But see, now Ken, on the other hand, keeps getting more interesting. Like, even though it's just the red gi, but they eventually did the whole thing where, Ryu's headband is red because it's Ken's headband.
Right.
The rivalry between him and Ken is really between him and Ryu is really interesting. And, come Street Fighter V, he's got that kind of like, gi half off look going on, which is pretty rad. Whereas Kitana has gotten increasingly, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
I don't either. It's not like exploitative or
slutty.
I don't know. Slutty. Yeah. There it is.
Like, I mean, yeah.
In Mortal Kombat 2, wrong. Where she first appeared, she was basically just wearing, girl ninja outfit, like very generic, but it was her moveset that really set her aside. Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, she shows back up, and now she's got like this, giant slit down the middle of her outfit. So it's like the same outfit, but now there's a giant boob window. And then they kind of kept that going, and now she's just like wearing this really slinky top, and it's not a very... There's no practicality to it, which, again, we're talking Mortal Kombat, and it doesn't have to be practical, but, sure. If we're going to be doing this conversation where we're comparing all the characters, we got to look into all of it, and I don't know, man. I don't like where they've taken this character, whereas I love where they've taken Ken. I mean, if we go, like, first appearance versus first appearance, I think Kitana's a clear winner, but I think overall, maybe my vote goes to Ken, which I don't feel good about, but...
No, I'm going Kitana. It's the fan blades are
you're absolutely right.
Too cool. It's too fucking cool.
You are right. I think we should go to Evan to break the tie, to be honest with you, because I could go either way, and I think I'm leaning slightly towards Ken just because I liked watching his evolution. But again, I wouldn't be mad either way. So Evan?
Now, I can't... I don't want to fall back on my laurels, but the sluttiness is what attracts me to Katana.
Ken is also a slut, though.
But that's
I mean, he's married, but...
Yeah. You know what? Let's take that... Let's take it out. She is a more engaging-looking character. There's more there, even though there's less.
Right.
You know, you understand what I'm trying to say? He's just wearing a red gi. Sometimes he's wearing a red and black gi, or sometimes a black and red gi. Sometimes he's wearing, like, she is just way more intriguing. And it aside of the fact that she's hardly wearing anything in most of these images. Holy shit. I'm going to go with Katana.
All right.
All right.
I think that makes a lot of sense where, you know, like we said, Ken is the player two, Katana is the player one.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yes.
Melina was definitely the lesser of those two characters.
Melina and Jade and any of
Jade
the other
doesn't really count.
Iterations that they've done of that, you know, the female ninja character. Katana is, I think anyway, you know, up at the top.
All right, let's start narrowing these down. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to just start picking, you know, one from the top, one from the bottom, or just the two characters that wound up next to each other bracket style?
Two characters that wound up next to each other bracket style.
Round one, Ryu versus Scorpion.
Do that one last.
Yes. Let's come back to that. Let's start from the bottom then. Raiden versus Katana.
Raiden. Okay.
Yeah, that's not even a question for me.
Yeah.
I like Katana, I really do. I'm not even mad about her winning, but if she's got to go up against Raiden, she doesn't have that hat.
No, she doesn't have that hat. That is true.
Yeah, Raiden takes that one. All right, next up. Man, this one hurts. Guile versus Zangief.
Zangief.
Yeah.
I don't like charge characters.
I gotta vote Guile. Evan, tiebreaker. Guile versus Zangief.
Zangief.
Yeah, you're right. Zangief wrestles bears.
Yeah.
for fun. And just for a sheer appearance in Wreck-It Ralph.
Also true.
So.
Just because you are a bad guy. Yeah, just. Zangief, out of all of these characters, has by far the best movie appearance.
Quick! Change the channel.
Good stuff.
Great. Okay, Bison versus Chun-Li.
Oh. Bison.
I think I'm voting Chun-Li. All right, tiebreaker again, Evan.
I'm just not going to lower my microphone. Son of a bitch, Bison. I'm sorry.
You son of a beach
you
bison.
You son of a beach.
Oh, it was Tuesday. All right, Bison it is. And we're back. Ryu versus Scorpion. I'm voting Scorpion.
I gotta go Ryu. I have to.
God,
I love Ryu to death, but I gotta vote Scorpion. He's just so cool.
He is so cool. But, I mean, Wandering Hobo just fucking...
Oh, what, you
fight.
Think Scorpion's going home?
Yes.
Scorpion doesn't have a house.
He goes to his broken home. His dead family. Just sits around being all shitty. And yellow. He's a coward, Chris.
Honey, get over here, please. Then he cries lava tears. And then he goes and kills people.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad, but...
I gotta vote Scorpion.
All right, Evan.
You know what? I'm gonna give it to Ryu just for the sheer fact that he did everything that he has done barefoot.
That's a strong argument, Evan.
It's a bold move, and I appreciate it. All right. Well, that brings us down to the final four: Ryu versus Bison.
Ryu.
Ryu.
Yeah.
All right. Do. Zangief versus Raiden. That's actually a little tougher than I thought it would be.
That's a lot tougher.
Yeah.
Zangief versus Raiden. Oh, Tiff just made the ooh face as well. She just went, ooh.
That's a tough one.
It is.
I think I gotta go with Zangief.
Oh! Chris said Raiden.
You both said it at the same time. That was adorable.
Yeah, I mean, Tiff is bringing up a great point here on the couch, and we just made it, but just because you are a bad guy does not mean.
Yeah, but I'm
you are that's true. Guy. But Raiden as a character survived Christopher Lambert.
Mm.
And whoever that yutz was that played him in the second movie.
So is this in my court now?
It's in your court. Court.
I'm voting Raiden. He's voting the Geef.
I'm going to say Raiden just for his appearance in Big Trouble in Little China.
Evan is
you,
going
we all, with we all forgot that now, didn't we?
Because of his appearance in Big Trouble in Little China. And I don't think that counts.
In my world, it does.
But as you are the tiebreaker, intrepid editor Evan. All right.
And so, here we are. Ryu versus Raiden.
Well, that's just not even close. It's obviously Ryu.
It's a little closer for me, but yeah, it's Ryu.
All right.
And there's our first winner. Damn, that was good. Mortal was Kombat fun. Put up more of a fight than we thought it did.
It did.
That was it fun. Did.
Yay. What a good idea we had.
Go team.
All right.
All right, so our first winner is obviously Street Fighter, and it is repped by Ryu. The fun part is that none of those Street Fighter characters get to compete again. Except right. I think maybe Ryu should be allowed to compete again, right? Because he won.
Yes.
So Ryu and then seven other Street Fighter characters will go up against next week's winner. And next week we are pitting Tekken versus Soul Calibur.
Which is going to be a lot harder than I initially thought.
It's not going to be for me because I'm not much of a Tekken fan. But then again, I don't know. Who knows? I might have stronger feelings about some of these characters than I think I do.
We'll see.
We will see. Right, that's our show. That was a hoot.
That was a hoot.
That was a hoot.
That March was a hoot a fun nanny.
Month. Yeah, hoot nanny and a shoot nanny. Join us next week as we continue our March Madness. As like I said, we pit the characters of Tekken versus the characters of Soul Calibur. If you have any favorite characters from Tekken or Soul Calibur that you want us to throw into the mix, by all means, send them our way. And you can do so by getting in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade, follow us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris. Dan is at, where is Dan?
At Geekade Dan.
At Geekade Dan. It's important I'm that right I make here. You say that. You're right there. Or you could also hop onto our Discord, which we just... launched a week or so ago. There is a SAG podcast channel where you can talk about all this kind of business. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. Or if you're super nice, you can leave us a review because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd like to thank our intrepid editor and tiebreaker, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. And we'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for even more fresh, original content. We'll see you next week for another March Madness bracket battle. That was fun.
That was good. That was alliterative. Look at you.
Yeah.
March Madness bracket battle.
Yeah, I like it.
We're good at this.
Yeah, on behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.
Hadoop.
It was 20 years ago. You hadn't promoted yourself to general yet. You were just a petty drug lord. You and your gang of murderers gathered your small ounce of courage to raid across the border for food, weapons, slave labor. father was the village magistrate. A simple man with a simple code, justice. He gathered the few people that he could to stand against you. You and your bullies were driven back by farmers with pitchforks. My father saved his village at the cost of his own life. You had him shot as you ran away. A hero at 1,000 paces.
I'm sorry. I don't remember any of it.
You don't remember?
For you, the day Bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday.